brachas. Okay, first of all, we all know that today one of the topics that a lot of svarim dwell upon is what happens if a person can only fast. There are two fast days. Today it's Tzom Gedalia, and then a week from now is Yom Kippur. Let's say a person evaluates in his mind, I can only fast one of these two. If I fast on Tzom Gedalia, I'm going to be so wiped out that I'm not going to recover in time to have enough strength to fast on Yom Kippur. So better I should eat today so that I'll have the koyach in a week's time from now to eat on Yom Kippur. Now this is a question, I'm assuming it's a real question. What? That's the question. Psychologically.
It really works. Diabetics, who their sugar goes up when they fast, and they're told not to fast. So you
can recover. You can recover, but it's not dangerous to do it twice.
In 1 week, it's going to be a problem.
It's dangerous. Okay, so let's assume, for argument's sake, that medically speaking, it's a real question. I'm assuming, like exactly what you said, 99% of the time, if you're not fasting Shavasana, you're not fasting both fast days, and if you can fast, then there's really no difference fasting Shavasana, fasting Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur. But let's assume, for argument's sake, that this is a medically a real medical question. If you fast, you only can fast one of these two fast days. So what should a person do? What did it start? The mitzvah echad. A Tzom Gedalia is not a deoraisa. It's not an obligation, especially today. Today it's only a custom to fast Tzom Gedalia. It started out as a fast that was instituted by the prophets, by the Nevi'im. But today it's only a minhag to observe. It's a very strong minhag. It's not a lightweight minhag. It's a very heavy-duty minhag because it originated by the Nevi'im. It used to be divrei Kabbalah. Today it's a minhag. And fasting Yom Kippur is a deoraisa. It's serious business. So that's the reason why we should say that put aside the custom and focus on what is an ikor, what is a primary fast Yom Kippur. But the other side of the coin is you're not in the world of halacha obligated to worry about what is going to be tomorrow. Right now, maybe tomorrow, yes, but in a week from now, it's already past the person's purview. It's past what you have to think about. If today a person has the koyach to fast, it's true. In a week's time, will come to Yom Kippur. You'll worry about it when you get to Yom Kippur. Chaperayim. If you're able to do something good to be mekayim a mitzvah, take advantage of the situation immediately. I remember once hearing a question: a person has an opportunity to get out of jail. Rachmana litzlan. These are the older. To leave, the officers tell them, Rahman al-Sam happens today also, when they let people out for a short period of time, and they give you a choice. When would you like to leave? What, in this next 6 months, we're allowing you to leave prison for 3 days. This happens even today. Okay, I know. And you have a choice. And when a person in prison, let's now, today, Baruch Hashem in prison, they can do pretty much anything. But let's say a person, when he was in prison, was not able to do any mitzvah whatsoever. So they're giving him a choice. You can have a day off. We'll let you go home for 3 days. We'll watch you, of course. House arrest. And when you'll be home, you'll be able to be mekayim all of the mitzvahs. When the person is in prison, he cannot be mekayim anything. There's no davening, there's no tefillin, there's no Shabbos, there's nothing. What should he do? It's the same exact dilemma. Should he focus on something big coming up? Yom Kippur is coming up. Shabbos is coming up. Yom Tov is coming up. A special mitzvah. Or should a person say, listen, I did not put on tefillin today. There's a mitzvah today for me to wear tefillin. So let me out of prison today. So right now I can be mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. This is the same dilemma. What do you do? And it's not an easy dilemma. And there are many different opinions in this matter. One, do we say in the world of halacha to focus on the big things at the expense of not being able to do the smaller things? Versus, the approach that a person should take advantage of an opportunity that he has in front of him right now, even if that situation in your mind is minor relative to what's coming down the line. This is a debate to which, unfortunately, I have not found a satisfactory answer. Yeah.
What happens if Mashiach comes between Song Gedalia and Yom Kippur?
Doesn't matter. We're going to fast.
Mashiach comes, we'll still have
absolutely. The simple understanding is yes. Yom Kippur, Mashiach will come. We maybe won't fast on Tisha B'Av. Even that is not so simple. Until Mashiach settles. Until Mashiach will figure out what to. But Yom Kippur, doesn't say anywhere that when Mashiach will come, there's not going to be, not going to fast on Yom Kippur. Even Melech HaMashiach will be fasting on Yom Kippur. Okay, Tisha B'Av, that is an interesting question.
Will not right away.
It may take some time. It may take some time until things play out. So it's not. They're conflicting Memori Chazal. There are different Memori Chazal. We don't know what it means. Some Memori Chazal say it's not so. All the Moadim are going to be celebrated. Just they're not going to be the Iker. There's going to be Purim. There's no real. Rambam says no one really knows how things will play out. And there are different periods of time. There's when Eliyahu HaNavi, Melech HaMashiach, Mashiach Ben David, Mashiach Ben Yosef, and then there's Olam Haba. So no one really knows how all of these things will play out. Okay, let's go further. So that is one of the big dilemmas. Now, when does the fast end today? Okay, so most people in this neighborhood, I don't know, wait 45 minutes after sunset. That's what's very popular in this neighborhood. And the truth is, you can be make of you. If you can't wait that long, you can end the fast earlier. For Shabbos, when do most people in this room end Shabbos? I would assume everyone here in this room, I'm making a guess, does not end Shabbos before 50 minutes. Is there anyone here that ends Shabbos before 50 minutes? You don't want to raise your hand. Okay, I'm assuming Rav Moshe says that in America, you have to wait 50 minutes after sunset. There are people who wait 60 minutes, and there are people who wait 72 minutes. And there are people who wait even more than that. 90 minutes, 92 minutes, the shows Marios. But most people in this community in Flatbush, people that are Orthodoxers in Flatbush, my observation, I would assume, wait approximately 50 minutes. At least 50 minutes. There are people, there's no question about it, who wait less. Who wait 40 minutes, some wait 35 minutes. When three average size stars can be seen in the sky, when can you see three average stars in the sky? Some will tell you even after 13 minutes. Okay, it's not, you cannot say that a person was mechallel Shabbos if he did melacha 13 minutes after sunset. You can't say that about someone. You can't go say that he's a Mechal Shabbos. In this community, they're not going to like you for doing that, but al pi halacha, you cannot be labeled a Mechal Shabbos even 13 minutes. It used to be people would wait 30 minutes, 35 minutes. Okay, the old calendars had like 35 minutes. And Moshe didn't like that. And Moshe says you have to wait 50 minutes. Some people still wait 40 minutes. Okay, now what about a tainus? A tainus? So when do we end the tainus? It's almost universal for some reason. I don't know where it comes from in this neighborhood that the tainus ends at 45 minutes. I really honestly do not know who invented the number 45, but it seems for some reason that that's what people do. The truth is, if a person has a hard time fasting, you can definitely break your fast before that. You can break your fast even 30 minutes, even less. After, because it's a tainus derabanan, the goal, there's no, by a tainus, the truth is there's no inyan of a tainus to wait until the stars come out. The tainus is, except for Yom Kippur is a little bit different. But when it comes to all the dalet tzomos, the truth is the fast ends at the end of the day. Not even sunset. Or the latest is, I'm fasting today. So when the sun sets, the day is over. There are certain times a person is not supposed to fast for whatever reason. So then he's told, well, but I have to fast. So fast until the end of the day. That way, in other words, 5 minutes before sunset, break your fast. And that way you've really got both. You fasted the whole day, because fasting, breaking your fast 5 minutes before sunset, that's enough. You fasted kemat to the end of the day. For example, going into Shabbos, there's a whole discussion, the person should not go into Shabbos hungry. It's not an honor to the sanctity of Shabbos to come into Shabbos when you're hungry. So what happens if a person has to fast on Friday? For whatever reason, he has a tainus chaloim, or he accepted upon himself to fast a series of fast days. He does not, and many hold he should not finish the fast. He should break his fast a few minutes before sunset. And when does this apply? It applies Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves is the only fast day that can fall out on a Friday. If you look in the Svarim, in all of the Svarim, it seems to say that the proper thing to do is to break the fast before Shabbos begins. We do not do that. Why do we not do that? I don't know. Is it ignorance? Is it, that can't be. You can't say that. It's maybe since it's only once, it happens only once in a few years.
It's a short day.
It happens only once in a few years. And once we tell people to start breaking their fast early, it's going to make a lot of confusion. So in order, for the sake of simplicity, the minhag ha'olam is not to break your fast until after you come home from Kabbalah, from Shabbos, from Ma'ariv, and you make Kiddush, you break your fast by making Kiddush. But you should know that's not, that even though that's what we do, and that is accepted what we do, that's not necessarily the correct thing that really should be done. The correct thing that should be done is Shabbos. You don't disgrace the Holy Shabbos by going into the Shabbos in a state of fasting. It's not the proper thing. You're in a frame of, even though it's a short day, you're in a very different frame of mind when you're fasting. So what should you do? But it's Asar B'Teves. So fast the whole day. And just 5 minutes before Shabbos, take a drink. Break your fast so that when you go into Shabbos, you should not be in a state of fasting. But what do you mean if I break my fast 5 minutes before sunset, I'm not fasting the whole day? No, you don't understand what it means to fast the whole day. Fasting a whole day is not a halachic thing on the calendar. Fasting a whole day means you fast from Alois HaShachar to the end of the day. The day ends with sunset. So if you've made it to 5 minutes before sunset, you've basically fasted the entire day. You've accomplished what you're supposed to accomplish. So that is important to know when it comes to a fast like today, and let's say even a Tainus Esther, or Shavasa B'Tamus, or even Tisha B'Av. And when a person has, at the end of the day, is not feeling well, and it's very, very hard. Person finds himself in that situation, there's no guilt in breaking your fast after sunset. At least after sunset. If you want to go away 10, 15 minutes, that's l'chol ha'yaser, for sure. 10, 15 minutes after sunset, a person's not feeling well, there's nothing to apologize. You can definitely break your fast 13 minutes after sunset, you can definitely break your fast. For whatever reason, I don't know why, for whatever reason, it is the minhag ha'olam to wait. Everyone waits 45 minutes. Not everyone.
What? Wait
20 minutes. 20 minutes. Today. They wait. Okay, that's right. They're following what is, and even that they probably view as a chumra. Okay, so you'll see that even people who will observe a Shabbos being over, they'll wait until 92 minutes, not do malacha. They will break their fast today, not later than 45 minutes. 45 minutes is considered to be a chumra, you should know. Considered to be a stringency, because a lot of some of the calendars they even have the end of the fast can be even 30 minutes, even less than that. Okay, that's want to bring out that point of the fast, of how far you have to fast.
If it's a nidchat, next year I think
it'll be a nidchat. Will be a nidchat. Tzom Gedalia? Okay, so Tzom Gedalia is a very interesting concept. He's touching upon something very good. Tzom Gedalia be'etzem, this is a debate. This is a halachic dilemma, the Paiskim debate. Is there a leniency of a nidche in Soim Gedalia? When it comes to other fast days, if there's a bris milah, or there's a wedding taking place in the evening, there's a halacha that if it's not the primary day, the fast has been pushed off, then if there's a bris milah, there are a whole list of leniencies that go into play for the one who makes the bris milah. Likewise, a chosen kala getting married at night, if the fast, the day before they get married, the night before they get married is a fast day, there are lenience. Anyway, normally fast the day before their wedding. But they're fasting for a different reason. But if they're not going to be fasting for that reason, then the only reason why they're fasting is because they're getting married, or let's say it's during Sheva Brachos, there are definitely a lot of leniencies that apply when it's a nidche. Tzom Gedalia is the observance of the death of Gedalia ben Achikam. When did he die? According to many, he died on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei. If that's the case, why then are we fasting on the third day of Tishrei? Well, we can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, we can't fast the second day Rosh Hashanah, so the first opportunity to fast is the third day of Tishrei. So that means every single year, Tzom Gedalia is a nidcha. It's been pushed off. And yet in Shulchan Aruch, there are no leniencies for Tzom Gedalia. If there's a bris, too bad. Don't eat. I mean, there are different opinions. The leniencies that normally apply to the other fast days do not apply to Tzom Gedalia. Why not? Tzom Gedalia is a nidche by definition. So what is the answer? The answer is, this type of nidche is an exception. And therefore, if the third day of Tishrei would be Shabbos, it would be a three-day Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Rosh Hashanah followed by Shabbos, and the first opportunity to observe Tzom Gedalia would be on the fourth day of Tishrei, so it's just a nidche, it's a nidche of a nidche. It itself is a nidche, and now you're pushing it off another day. It doesn't matter. Once it's a nidche and there are no leniencies, it does not make a difference if it's a nidche of a nidche. There are no leniencies. Other opinions disagree, and they hold, it's true, Gedalia died on Rosh Hashanah, but Chazal or established that the fast day should be observed on the third day, period. And it becomes the primary day. Thus, in a year when the third day is Shabbos, Enoch Inami, then it is called a Nidche. Okay, so this is a very big debate. What exactly is called Sunday? Now, once we discuss this, let me show you something very, very interesting, very important, which I came across in different sages. It's a very fascinating idea. And that is, let's discuss the time when Gedalia was, when Chazal first established Tzom Gedalia. It was during the time of the Bayis Sheni. Okay, the Gedalia, we'll discuss Tzom Gedalia a little bit later on, but Gedalia was killed, was assassinated. He was the governor of the Jewish people appointed by Nebuchadnezzar in Yerushalayim, immediately after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, to take care of the Jews, the Sheiris HaPleitu, that remained in Yerushalayim to maintain a presence, a Jewish presence, law and order in Yerushalayim. He was the governor. He was assassinated by a rival, Yishmael ben Netanya. He was a jealous rival of Gedalia. He wanted to be the governor. He was insulted that he was passed over for Gedalia, and he ran away to Ammon. Ammon had an axe to grind with Klal Yisrael, and they propped him up and they helped him plan and assassinate his rival Gedalia ben Achikam. So that's what we observe. Gedalia was a very great tzaddik, and the similar reason why we observe the time is, we'll go through a little sidetrack, but I want to bring out a point. As we observe he was a very great tzaddik. We observe the death of the tzaddik Gedalia. We're mourning over the loss of a holy person. Now here's the issue. Originally, when this fast day was made, it was just like Tisha B'Av. The fast began at night with Tzeisak Rechavim and went all the way until the following night. Just like Tisha B'Av, we have 5 Yinuyim. You're not allowed to wear shoes, you're not allowed to smear oil, no eating, no drinking, all the 5 Yinuyim. And the fast goes from night to night, 24 hours. That is the way, beyond a shadow of a doubt, all 4 fast days were observed. When the Nevi'im established these 4 fast days, there was only one day Rosh Hashanah. The assumption is the witnesses came to testify when they saw the new moon, and there was one day Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. Now here is the big question. When the Nevi'im established the Tzoyim HaShavi'i, the fast day of the 7th month, did they establish it on the 2nd day of Tishrei or on the 3rd day of Tishrei? We today observe it on the 3rd day of Tishrei because we have no choice. Because today it's universal that there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So you can't fast the 1st day, you can't fast the 2nd, and the first time you could possibly fast is going to be the 3rd day of Tishrei. But when there was only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah in the time, but there was still a period of that during the time of the Nevi'im. Sure. No, I don't know how sure. During the Bayisheni. But when the Nevi'im established, there was still only 1 day. Was it meant to be observed on the 2nd day of Tishrei or on the 3rd day of Tishrei? Have a very choshev sefer called Minchas Arni. Is a very nice discussion. He cites sources that say as follows. From day 1, it was established on the 3rd day. Now, listen to this lumbus. Why is this so? Think about Tisha B'Av. Is Tisha B'Av really 1 day? It's not really 1 day. It's really 3 days. Why is it really 3 days? Because we already begin to observe some of the laws of Tisha B'Av, Chatzos, the day before. Erev Tisha B'Av with Chatzos, already you're limited what you can do.
You'd say 9 days.
Well, the 9 days is a rabbinic. That's something a little bit more. It's an expansion. The 9 days, you're right, that's more of an expansion of the Avelus. But the being that we do fast on the 9th day, that forces us to already change our eating behavior and our behavior entirely on the 8th day from Chatzos Ve'elech. We have the Tzudas HaMafsekes. There are certain things that you can't eat. There are certain things you can't do. Being that we know that Tisha B'Av begins on the night of the 9th, that forces us to change our behavior on the 8th day from Chatzos Ve'elech. Now we have to go back to the time of Chazal, time of the Nevi'im. They instituted there should be a fast day on Tzom Gedalia. And the Tzom Gedalia was just like Tisha B'Av. If there's only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, we would assume the earliest opportunity to have Tzom Gedalia would be the 2nd day of Tishrei. But that would force us to change our behavior in preparation for Tzom Gedalia after Chatzos on Rosh Hashanah. Put yourself back 3,000 years ago, or whatever it was. It's Rosh Hashanah. There's only 1 day Rosh Hashanah. When it's 1 o'clock, daylight savings time, then you're basically Erev Tisha B'Av. So now, there are certain things you can't do. Certain things you should do. You have to soon have the Sudas Mafsekes. And you're not allowed to eat 2 cooked items. There's a whole series of things which go into effect Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. Is that nice? On the 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, we are now, after Chatzos, we already have to begin to observe Tisha B'Av. It's Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Tov. How could you force us on Rosh Hashanah to now begin observing to prepare for Tisha B'Av, Mitzoy, because the fast begins the second you make Havdalah, before you make Havdalah, it's like Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to make Havdalah because the Tzom Gedalia begins at night. So therefore, when there's only one day Rosh Hashanah, Chazal said, no, you're not going to fast the second day because we do not want Tzom Gedalia to push its way back into Rosh Hashanah. So we will establish the fast day on the third day of Tishrei, so that you'll begin to make your preparations on the second day of Tishrei after Chatzos. So Rosh Hashanah, you have the whole day to rejoice. When Rosh Hashanah is over, you can make Havdalah on wine. You can relax. You can wake up late the next day. And you can go to the Kollel. And you can learn, have a nice breakfast, and have nothing to worry about. And then when it comes 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, oh, it's now Chatzos. Tonight is Tzom Gedalia / Tisha B'Av. It's the same exact thing as Tisha B'Av. Tonight, so therefore it's now Chatzos. So now we have to begin to make our preparations. The Sudas HaMafsekes. We have to prepare ourselves and do all of the things that are required to do at this point in time. That was the way it was originally. Originally, Tzom Gedalia was on the third day of Tishrei, even though Gedalia was assassinated on the first day of Tishrei, and there was no second day Rosh Hashanah. Still, it was pushed to the third day of Tishrei in order to give us the opportunity to have an Erev Tzom Gedalia. You see all the different pieces of how the puzzle come together? Gedalia was killed on Rosh Hashanah. Aleph, no question about it. There's only one day Rosh Hashanah. But still, Tzom Gedalia will be on day three. Because Tzom Gedalia, the way it was observed originally, includes the night. If it includes the night, that means Chatzos. You begin to make the preparations. Chazal cannot institute a fast day that's going to force us on Rosh Hashanah to begin to become Avelim on Rosh Hashanah. Can't do that. So we need a buffer. One day Rosh Hashanah, Mitzoy Rosh Hashanah, you have all the way until Chatzos, and then it's now Erev Tisha B'Av. And that prepares us for the night. Now what happened in subsequent generations? Well, number one, there are now always 2 days Rosh Hashanah. But being that we no longer observe Tzom Gedalia as a real fast day, we no longer observe the evening of Tzom Gedalia, we start Tzom Gedalia in the morning, therefore it's not so bad if we can start, if we can preserve the calendar date of the third day Tzom Gedalia, because anyway, we're not going to be making preparations on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, because we are no longer observing the night, Mitzoy, of the second day, Rosh Hashanah, as the fast day. So that's the reason why we have it the way we have it today. Today, after the building of the Bayis Sheni, after the 70 years of Galus, this fast day appears to only have been observed fully for 70 years. Once the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, they stopped observing Tzom Gedalia in the full force, including the night, if it was observed at all, and it only was observed by day. So even though now we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, but we're not observing the night, so there's no reason why we can't continue to on the third day, because it's anyway not going to go into the day before, because we don't observe those elements of Tzom Gedalia. All right, let's go to another quick halachas. I found this very interesting. And that is, when you recite Birchas HaMazon during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, there is a minhag, it's not universal, to recite in the Harachamans, just like what you say on Rosh Hashanah. Harachamon, hu yichadesh oleinu shana toiva. Through even all the way even through Simchas Torah? Okay, I don't know. I thought only during that Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Okay, so there are different minhagim. Some don't do it at all. Some only do it on Rosh Hashanah. Most Siddurim only say Rosh Hashanah. Rachamon, Yichadesh, Leinu Shana Toiva, only on Rosh Hashanah. And some have the custom to observe it during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. And you're telling me that some have the custom to observe it even further. So here's my question to you. What about in the Al HaMichya? In the Al HaMichya, what do we say? We say, V'zochreinu l'toiva b'yoim hazikoroin hazeh. Do you say in the Al HaMichya, V'zochreinu l'toiva, V'zochreinu l'toiva, you can't say b'yoim, or do we continue? The answer is absolutely not. There's a very big difference between the harachamons and the zochreinu and the samcheinu in the Al HaMichya. The harachamons are not part of the benching. The benching ends with the fourth bracha. Everything else is just bakoshas. In the Al HaMichya, you cannot add one letter that does not belong there, because it's in the middle of the bracha. And you're very, very limited and confined what you're allowed to add to the bracha, only things that Chazal allowed you to put there. And that only includes on Rosh Hashanah to say Harachamon of V'zochreinu l'toiva b'yoyim hazikaron hazeh, and on Shalosh Rogol to say V'samcheinu b'yoyim chag v'chulu, and on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, but nothing else, because it's in the middle of the bracha. And that cannot be. Also, good question. So Chanukah Purim. So the simple answer is because it's Chodah. It's not. The additions of the Al HaMichya correspond to the Yala V'Yavai. So Al HaNisim is not an Al. Is that's part of Chodah. That Chazal will never misakin. Another answer to Drush, my father gave, my father told me this answer, my father's answer, is that Bikurim corresponds, Al HaMichya, the entire Nusach of Al HaMichya corresponds to Bikurim. There are a lot of similarities between Bikurim and the Bracha Me'ein Sholesh. The Bracha Me'ein Sholesh is for the Zayin Minim, and Bikurim are for the Zayin Minim. Do you bring Bikurim from Chanukah ve'elach? No. You bring Bikurim until Sukkot, and then from Sukkot till Chanukah you can bring, but you do not recite the Vidui. The Mechanukah ve'elach, Einoi mevi klal. Bikurim have no shaykhis to Chanukah and Purim. So that's why you can't say Chanukah and Purim in the Al HaMichya, because the whole bracha is connected Bikurim, and Bikurim there is no. Now, what's the kasha on that? What's the kasha with that answer? Everyone knows the kasha. What about, no, Purim also, there's no Bikurim. Pesach. So you have to answer Loi Plug. Once already you're going to say, the other two regalim, you're going to say Shavuos, that's the Ikar Zman and Sukkis. You have no choice, Loi Plug, you have to also say Pesach as well. But if you take this answer to its nth degree, then you would have a kasha, why is Pesach included? Because you do not bring Bikurim on Pesach. Okay, let's go to some other quick reviews. Today, getting an aliyah, the person did not fast, he's not supposed to take an aliyah.
The main reason why we have fast day for some Gedalia, we was at Tzadik.
I'm going to talk about after the halachas, a few more minutes, and we'll talk about, guys wants to go some halachas, so a few more, why not? Just a few more very short halachas. Today, mincha, if a person is not fasting, he's not supposed to take an aliyah. So it's very, very chomer. They call a person for an aliyah. 99% of the time, you're not allowed to deny an aliyah. It's like a curse. Once a person's called up, you must go. There's nothing you can do to wiggle out of it. If they say, Ya'amoid. Ya'amoid, you cannot wiggle out of it. You have to go take the aliyah. The only exception is, if they call up a person for an aliyah on a tiny sibur, mincha, and he's not fasting. Shachris, that's not called fasting. A person is not fasting. You're not supposed to take an aliyah. And even if they called you up by name, l'chatchila, you're supposed to tell them, I'm not fasting, and I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to take the aliyah. The aliyah, we're learning vayichal is for people that are fasting. And if you don't have, you have to have seven people, I think this is machloikas, six or seven people have to be fasting in order to learn vayichal. Shachris, so today it's the same halacha. If it's a Monday and a Thursday, when anyway you would learn the parasha, then if the lechatchila you should not be called up, because it's a different Kriya Satoira, but Bidiyev, if they called you up, you can take the Aliyah. But if it's not a Monday or a Thursday like today, and a person is not fasting, he's not supposed to take an Aliyah. However, there is an exception, that is the rabbi. The rabbi is embarrassed. The rabbi is expected to fast. If they call up the rabbi, and the rabbi would be very embarrassed, it would be a chil Hashem for the shul to know that the rabbi is not fasting. So then there is. It's not always the case. The rabbi has to decide if it would result in a shame to his position. It'll be a chil Hashem. So then the halach is the rabbi is allowed to take the aliyah if they already called him up, and he is embarrassed to tell the people that he is not fasting.
That's the famous Hassan Sofer said. He wrote it himself in 1811. It was Tisha B'av, and he knew they would call him for mincha, and he was debating whether he should say
even
something.
Tell them.
He knew they're going to call him for shlishi, and should he say beforehand, don't even bother, before davening, that I can't fast and I ate. He decided not to, and he took the aliyah on Tisha B'av.
You have to know the times. Today, say we would assume that a big deal, you're not, big, the rabbi is a big deal. You see, not everyone understands.
Well, some people might be embarrassed. It's a big bullshit.
Okay, so you have to know. Every situation is different. Obviously, you cannot generalize. Like we always say, every situation is different. And some of these halachas that we read, these were written in a very different era where people had a lot of dignity. And when a person has dignity, there's a different society. It's very, very different today. And even today, it's not necessarily different. It all depends where you find stuff. Okay. One other interesting thing. One last thing, and then we'll discuss a little bit about what is some of that all about, and that is kiddush levana. What is the proper halacha regarding the recital of kiddush levana? There are two minhagim. Some people wait until after Tisha B'av, after Yom Kippur, to recite kiddush levana. Why? Because then they're happy. Kiddush Levana, we don't appreciate what Kiddush Levana is all about. Kiddush Levana is Kabbalas Pnei HaShchina. You're coming to Mekabel the Shechina. When you Mekabel the Shechina, you have to be in the proper frame of mind. You have to be happy. You have to be dressed well. You have to be besimcha. During the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meis, Mapsuchim, people are not in a good mood. They're nervous. They're tense. They don't know what's going to be. It's not necessarily the best frame of mind to go and be mekabel l'pnei Hashchina. So therefore, many advise that it is not proper. A person should wait until after Yom HaKippurim to recite Kiddush Levana. On the other hand, there's a counter argument, and that is chaperein every zuchus you possibly can. You do not know what's going to make the difference when it comes to the Yom HaDin, Yom HaKippurim. One more mitzvah bol yotcha al tach mitzena. Now there's another approach which is not cited anywhere.
From the Gra, by the way.
From the Gra. The Gra says you should chaperein. You do not know what schus will add to your cheshbon. Chaperein. Now there is another svara which is a modern svara. This is not brought down anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, and that is if you live in an environment where it's cloudy. And it's not always so easy to Mekadosh Levana. I read recently the Satmar Rav, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the last year he was always makbid to do Kiddush Levana after Yom Kippur, always. And then it happened, maybe the second to last year of his life, I don't know exactly, but it happened where there was no Levana. It was after Yom Kippur, and it was cloudy, and the next night, and the next night, and the next night, and I don't know exactly what happened at the end, but it was not a pleasant situation. So, he went on a helicopter. A helicopter to go up to wherever, the airport, whatever it was. So it's not so simple. So therefore I read that the Satmar Rav in the last year of his life was Mekadesh Levana right after and immediately before Yom Kippur because he got burnt. That's really what it's about. Okay, so we have really three approaches. In Shulchan Aruch it says there are two mahalchim. The Gra says chaperayim. You need a zuchus. The second approach is to be makabel pnei hashchina. You have to be in the proper frame of mind. Another approach, which is more modern, a more recent development in the countries that we live in, where we live in Golos, is who says you'll have a levana? Don't take it for granted. You'll have a levana. Now, here's a fourth reason, and this is something which I could say by myself, which is obviously no good. Some people, let me do Kiddush Levana now, tonight. Let's just get it over with. Not due to any religious reason whatsoever. I'm not worried about it being cloudy. 5 days. One of those nights will be a Levana. I'm not worried. Being mevusav, I should be in a matzav of refreshed, the simcha of lechila kaparas avaynais. I don't know, not everyone gets so excited about that. You know, not everyone, you're hungry, right? You're hungry, you want to go home. Rather go put food in my stomach than worry about the shechina, coming in the makabal l'pnei ha-shechina. Unfortunately, not everyone is appreciates what Kiddush Levan is about. Zchusim, you really worried about how many is zchusim? I would first worry about lashon hara, talking during davening. I have a lot bigger things to work on, big things to work on in order to accumulate merit for the Yom Hadin than to worry about adding one more mitzvah, Kiddush Levana. So why then am I in a rush? I'm a religious person. I have a list of things I have to do. Orthodox Jew has a list of obligations, right? You try to be a good person, the best that you possibly can. So let me just cross this off the list, right? Unfortunately, that's how I am. It's not that's the mindset. It's chato ayani masker hayom. That's the mindset. And unfortunately, I don't think I'm alone in this. Okay, I don't want to say about anyone else, but guess what? That is totally, totally wrong. That is a terrible avera. It's wrong. The whole year round, you can say that. The whole year round. Oh, comes Chodesh Cheshvan, Kislev, Teve, Shvat Adar. Oh, Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana. Okay, let's do it. Let's get the show on the road. Let's do it. Cross this off the list. When it comes to Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Chazal, it's amazing. They've laid out for you a guidelines. You got a choice now. You got a choice. You can do Kiddush Levana after Yom Kippur, and you can do Kiddush Levana today. Now, what are the pros and cons? To do it after Yom Kippur, you're mevusan. You're besimcha. You're going to be mekabel the pnei hashchina in the proper frame of mind. What's the advantage of doing it today? One more zuchus. So it's only in Chodesh Tishrei where Chazal have played with your mind. The whole year round, they didn't play with your mind. Do a mitzvah. Mitoch shaloy l'shma, bo l'shma. Just do it. Do it for all the ulterior motives you have. You're a good Orthodox Jew. Do the mitzvahs. Who's asking you what your kavana is? Whoever asks for kavanas, just do it. Who's bothering you? But in Tishrei, Chazal are sitting you down at the table and they're saying, let's make a cheshbon hanefesh. Let's discuss, what are you holding in life? There's a mitzvah called Kiddush Levana. When do you want to do it? You have to make a decision. But you have to make the decision for the right reason. You want to do it now? If you want to do it now, it better be because you appreciate the fact that you need another zechus for the Yom HaDin. You don't want to do it now? You want to be lazy? You want to wait? Well, realize, normally you would do it now. We're letting you push it off and be lazy until after Yom Kippur. But you have to understand something. Why are we allowing you to wait? Most people, they do Kirshav Havana right away. You don't delay. Why? Because, you know, you're supposed to be nervous now about the Yom HaDin. And when you do Kiddush Levana, you're supposed to be in the frame of mind of Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina. So that is why we're allowing you to delay until after Yom Kippur. It's amazing how the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana is the litmus test. Where are you holding in life? Where are you holding? The whole year round, they didn't bother you. Chazal didn't bother you. Do whatever you want. No one's coming to ask you to check up on you, a spiritual checkup, to check your pulse. Now, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, in this mitzvah specifically, and certainly you can probably find other examples, they're playing with you. They're playing with your mind. They're challenging you. How do you view a mitzvah? You're just going to go do it tonight because get it off my list?
Both are right.
But what I told you, the last is that's totally wrong. Right, yeah. Exactly the point. Right. And the whole year round, no. The whole year round to cross it off your list is correct. No one's ever coming to challenge you if you're kavanis the whole year round. Mitach shalei lishma bo lishma. Now there's a dilemma here or there. Wait a minute. What are you doing exactly? Are you doing it for the right reason or the wrong reason? You gotta be serious. This is the time of the year where we're not letting you get away with anything. Everything has a cheshbon in this time of the year. Okay, let me just tell you a little bit about, for a few minutes, let me just discuss a little bit about Tzom Gedalia. What exactly is Tzom Gedalia all about? So there are two mahalchim. There are really two major tragedies that happen on Tzom Gedalia. Number one, Gedalia ben Achikam, the governor that was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar, that was handpicked by Nebuchadnezzar to guard, to hold the fort, was assassinated. He was assassinated by a fellow Jew. His name was Yishmael ben Nesanya. He was a ger, and Yishmael ben Nesanya was a ger tzedek. And he assassinated him basically because he was jealous. He wanted to be the governor of Yerushalayim after the Churban. And the Nebuchadnezzar passed him over, and he could not live it down. He fled to the nation of Ammon. Ammon knew that he was jealous, and they went and they encouraged him to, you know what, why don't you just assassinate him? And we'll provide you with the intelligence and the weapons and a plan. We'll help you. And the nation of Ammon was not doing this because they really could care less about Gedaliah. They wanted to antagonize Nebuchadnezzar. They had their own agenda. So they took advantage of Yishmael ben Nesanya's personal kavod to their advantage and assisted him in assassinating Gedaliah. Gedaliah was warned. Gedaliah's closest bodyguards found out that there was a planned assassination in progress, and they told him, "Watch out, take precautions." And Gedaliah ben Achikam said, "It's lashon hara. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear someone's going to kill me." And unfortunately, he did not want to accept the report. He did not take precautions, and he was assassinated. Why do we observe the fast day? So the Gemara really asks the question. The Gemara says, basically, it's Misas Tzadikim. Misas Tzadikim is Shokol Kineged, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. In the Pasuk, in Zechariah, there are four fast days listed together. The Tzoyim HaAsiri, the Tzoyim HaRavi, the Tzoyim HaChamishi and the Tzoyim HaRevi, the fast day of the 10th month, that is Asar B'Teves, the fast day of the 4th month, Shavasa B'Tamuz, the fast day of the 5th month, which is Tisha B'Av, and the fast day of the 7th month. The Gemara says, why is the 7th, one of the 7th month, together with the other three? The other three clearly define points of Churban. The siege upon Yerushalayim, when it began, Shavasa B'Tamuz is when they breached the walls of Yerushalayim, And Tisha B'Av is when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. These are clearly events that relate to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But Tzom Gedaliah has nothing to do with the Churban Beis HaMikdash at face value. And the answer is, you're right. You're right. That's the first Mahalach. You're right. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's there listed together to teach us that the Misa, the death of a Tzaddik, is Shokol Keneged the Churban Beis HaMikdash. When a Tzaddik leaves this world, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Navi made this point by grouping together these two concepts, three fast days of the Churban, with the Misa of a Tzaddik. Nothing more than that. And not nothing more, that's a pretty big pill to swallow. And I guess by extension, today, what are we really mourning today? We're mourning the death of a Tzaddik. Is there any other time that we have a public fast day for a Tzaddik? I don't believe so. When do we mourn? There are other days that there's Aaron HaTzaddik, Aaron HaKoyen, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but that's not a public fast day. Yechidim, individuals are the one they can fast. Rosh Chodesh Av. Those for Yechidim. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Nodav Aviyu. Okay, these are not fast days that everyone fasts. Zayin Adar. The whole Klal Yisrael fast Zayin Adar. No one fasts. Very few people fast. Chevre Kadisha, Yechidim fast. There's no takana that the entire Klal Yisrael has to fast. What? Yeah, I'm coming down in a moment. Yes, even more than that. I'm coming down in one moment. But let's first focus on this. Right. There are two different mahalchim. So first, this is the mamash of the Gemara. This will come to you in a second. But the first mahalach is that it's the Misa Tzaddikim, and we have to appreciate that there is no day in the year that we observe a fast day to commemorate the Misa of a Tzaddik. And that has to right away teach us that we're not just observing him, by extension, all of the Tzaddikim. Today is like basically he's just a dogma, an example of a Tzaddik who left this world before his time. And had he remained alive, it would have been a different world. And it's a chaval. The world is a different world because he left prematurely. And by extension, think of all of the other tzaddikim who we've known, that left this world before their time. Had they been able to be in this world, it would have been a different world. Even if they'd been remained alive for just another year or two, even a short period of time, if they would have been present, things would have been different. They would have been able to make the Klal Yisrael would been behave differently. There would be a person whom he would be able to give advice, piske halacha, hadracha, or even if he did nothing, just his presence holds the people together. How often do you see a person who's totally not functional? He's totally not. But just the fact that he's alive, people are quiet. People are behaving. They're not looking to make trouble. And how do you know it's true? Because the day after he dies, the whole world falls apart. Everyone, machlekes breaks out like never before. So what changed? The person has not been functioning for years. He's not been functioning for years. It's a reality. The fact that just people are here in this world, their presence alone does wonders. And by Gedaliah, certainly, if he would have remained alive, they would not have left. They would have not have a... It was terrible what happened afterwards. It would have been a different world today. So by extension, we're mourning for all of the tzaddikim. And there's another reason why we fast. And this is what you're alluding to. There's a much deeper reason. And that is, it's very, very deep. The Pesukim make it very, very clear that although Hashem gave a prophecy to Yirmiyahu, that there's going to be 70 years of Golos. And the Goylim, they're not going to return for 70 years. The Ribbono Shel Olam changed his mind. Most people don't know this. It's a Feresh Pasuk. The Ribbono Shel Olam had Charata of the Golos of 70 years. Hashem told Yirmiyah, I want, let them start coming home immediately. If Klal Yisrael would have returned immediately, right after the Churban, they were already in Golos for 11 years before the Choresh v'Hamasker with Yehoyachin, it would have been a different world today. what was necessary was there should be a yishuv in Eretz Yisrael that was stable in order that the goyim from Bavel could return back to Eretz Yisrael. When they assassinated Gedaliah, chaos broke out. Hashem told Yirmiyah to tell the people, even though this har happened, Gedaliah was assassinated, there's no leader, stay put. Don't move. They appointed a new leader, Yochanan ben Kereach. Yochanan ben Kereach was the new leader appointed. Don't move. Stay put. The people that were there were terrified because they believed that when Nebuchadnezzar finds out that his chosen governor was killed by a Jew, one of our own, he'll come and he'll kill us all. That was the common belief. All of the top advisors told the people, we know we've done a psychological analysis of Nebuchadnezzar, the way he thinks. When he finds out that a Jew, one of our own, has killed our own governor, we're all dead. Panic broke out, and they all fled to Egypt. Yirmiyah begged them, do not run away. Stay put. You'll be okay. Nebuchadnezzar will not touch you. And in fact, the goyim are going to come back now. And they did not listen. By them not listening, it was the Churban all over again. Here was an opportunity to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And by not, see, it's not so much that Gedaliah was assassinated. What we're really fasting for today is the fact that we did not listen to Yirmiyah. That's really what the fast is about. They assassinated Gedaliah. Chaos broke out. And Yirmiyah said, calm down, remain put. Don't run away. And the people said, no, we're not listening to you. We're running away. And they ran away. And that was the end of Eretz Yisrael. There was not a living soul living in Eretz Yisrael. It was abandoned. It was barren. It was empty for 52 years. And then people started coming back until they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. And then all the problems. The Churban is not having faith in the Navi. That's what it's about. That's really what this fast day is about. And the Churban, the horrible Churban, which continued, which would have come to an end had they only listened. And now, by the way, when did Yirmiyah tell them in this Nevuah? And by the way, what happened to those people? What happened to those people who went to Mitzrayim? They were all killed by Nebuchadnezzar. Had they remained, they would remain alive. The end was they fled. Nebuchadnezzar found out. He found them in Mitzrayim, and he killed every single one of them. So the bottom line is, you can't escape. You can't escape your fate. They thought they were going to escape by running away. They ran away, and indeed they were killed. Had they stayed put, they would have survived. When did Yirmiyah tell them this whole, give over the whole report? On Yom Kippur. It says, Feresh Chazal, on Yom Kippur. So it's very interesting. This fast day, there are a lot of elements that are coming together in this fast day. Number one, Misa Sadikim. Number two, we did not listen to the Navi. And because we did not listen to the Navi, it was the Churban all over again. And the people, they fled. But there's also, cannot forget the fact that it's also the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. And this whole episode took place during, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They killed him on Rosh Hashanah. They had a dilemma what to do for 10 days. And at the end, they decided to ignore Yirmiyah. And Yirmiyah, on day 10, Yom Kippur, revealed their fate, that now Hashem is not having Rachmanis on you. There's going to be a Churban. It's going to remain for 70 years. And you're going to be killed. This whole episode took place between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, from beginning to end, soup to nuts. The assassination, the dilemma what to do, the decision, and Hashem's response. That we are being forced every single year to reflect upon this. And that, and what are we reflecting upon? It's, if it's perfectly into the theme of the days, what is Aseret Yemei Teshuva all about? We made mistakes. We davdan averos. We made terrible mistakes. But guess what? Just because you made a mistake, there is a plan to repair the damage. Listen and follow the plan. If you'll follow the plan, you'll be okay. If you don't follow the plan, you're toast. The dogma of Jewish history where this whole thing comes about is Gedalia. Klal Yisrael made a mistake. They allowed Gedalia to be executed. They grappled with this mistake for 10 days. And they made a decision. They were told what to do, how to repair the damage. They decided not to repair the damage, to go against what the Navi told them. And on Yom HaKippurim, it was handed down their Gzar Din. You don't want to repair the damage, you're finished. And we repeat this story every single year to wake up and learn the lessons. Don't repeat your mistakes. Don't repeat the mistake of not repairing the mistake. We made a mistake, they made a mistake. Their mistake was they assassinated their governor. We made big mistakes. Now we have 10 days, what should we do? Well, Yirmiyah told them what to do. There's enough books out there telling us exactly what to do, from Chazal, telling us instructions what to do tshuva. Don't do be foolish and do what the people did then. And they told Yirmiyah, go take a hike. And because they told Yirmiyah to get lost, on Yom Kippur, Yirmiyah handed down their verdict, you're finished. Don't follow down that path. Learn from history. We made a mistake, okay, there's a mahalich, the Navi tells how to do tshuva, shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalt b'avonecha, there's a mahalich, and if we'll follow the plan according to what the Navi tells us, when it'll come our Yom Kippur, there will be a psak min ha-shamayim handed down, l'chaim, it'll be for good. That's why this whole story is reappearing, bedafka during this time of the year. We should learn the lessons because it applies to us so much, so much. Have a wonderful day. Have a meaningful and easy fast.